When you're sick, you know you shouldn't be at work. You don't want to spread those germs around and you won't be able to do your best work. You probably know the requirements from your employer. You might need a doctor's certificate if it's more than a day or two off work. Does your workplace approach this differently? We'd love to hear from you if so.
0487 99 1233 is the text line. We've been hearing from many of you this morning about what your workplace wants from you. We also know it's hard to get a GP's appointment, so maybe you've been doing the telehealth appointment. But that's not cheap either, just for this certificate, the documentation. Local GP Max Mollenkopf spoke with Paul Culliver on Drive about this yesterday.
Every time that I have someone in that chair on the phone, in that appointment slot, that could be used by someone else who, you know, there's an 18-month-old who's got an ear infection, or there's someone else who's, you know, they really genuinely need to see their GP today. And they're missing out on an appointment.
So, is there an appetite for change among employers? What really, if anything, could change? Natasha Hawker is the founder of Employee Matters, an HR and recruitment provider. Morning, Natasha.
Good morning, Dan and Jenny. How are you?
Well, thank you. Could some companies relax their position on medical certificates?
I think they could. I get the concern from doctors, and I think this is incredibly valid, but I think employers are also trying to run a business here. I think the trust option is a good one, and I think you could offer unlimited sick leave, but with we reserve the right to request evidence at our discretion. I think a great example of that, guys, is the domestic and family violence leave. You can request evidence for that leave, but we've chosen not to, and I think many businesses have as well. And I know many businesses, including Coke many years ago, had an unlimited personal leave policy.
Mm. So how do you then, as an employer, say, I'd like to trust my employees more, try and take that burden off them, but I'm worried some might take advantage?
Yeah, I think there's two points here. I think there is, if you hire really well, then some employees, you know, you're going to have a great employees that are really built into the business and want to do the right thing. I think the other issue we're facing here is we have a mental health crisis in Australia, and pre-COVID, one in four Australians were suffering from a mental health condition, and that's going to be on the increase. And what we're finding and what we're seeing is a lot of employees are stressed and going off on stress leave. Now, in order for them to put in a workers' comp claim, they actually have to go and see a GP to make that claim. There's a no-fault basis where that's involved. But what that means is the employee goes off on full salary and the employer's wages are covered by workers' comp, but obviously their premiums are going to go up next year. So I think there's a lot going on in the workplace, and obviously that's having downstream impacts for our GPs, which I totally get.
You brought up COVID there, Natasha, because things have changed a little bit. We had a text from Stu that says we don't have sick days anymore at his workplace. You just work from home if you don't feel well enough to be in the office. He says it's a downside from the working from home revolution. You're never too sick to work from home now. That's not true, yeah. Is it?
Yeah, I actually think we have sick leave for a reason. People should be sick, you know, and get better and come back fully, recovered. I think what we're seeing, Dan, is as a result of COVID, we have a lot of employees with very little personal leave left, and therefore they require a certificate. And we also have employees with common colds that simply, in this case, like your listener, aren't welcome in the office. And if it is a common cold, that makes great sense if they're able to do their job from home. Not everyone can. But I think a lot of people have run out of leave, and most employers, I find, it's over 3 days leave that they have to get a doctor's certificate. I think it's rare in my experience that they require a certificate for just a day or a half day. And remember, our employers are having to cover, you know, that absence of that employee as well.
Mm. We have had a full range of responses on this today. Somebody whose employer requires a certificate for every day and says if you can't get in with your GP, go to the pharmacy. And somebody else, Lisa, who runs a small business. And I think, like you said, Natasha, must have just recruited really well, has a staff of eight that she trusts, and they get by fine without medical certificates. So we have heard that full range today. Do people take this kind of thing into consideration when they think about where they would like to work?
Absolutely. So we call it the employee value proposition. What's in it for me as an employer, as an employee to work for you? And I think those organisations, you know, that have high levels, what we know is there's a real tension between people wanting people to return to the workplace and people wanting to work from home. So if you have a very compelling employee value proposition, as in we have unlimited sick leave, or we actually trust you to do your best work at home, or we don't necessarily pay the most, but we have a great training program. Those are the employers that we're finding are going to attract the best employees in what is still a very tight applicant market. I would have said last year was the tightest applicant market I'd ever seen, as in it was so difficult to find people. This year it's reverted. We're seeing with our recruitment, the numbers have gone up incredibly. The number of candidates applying for each role, the market has turned, and I think employers will be feeling that.
Right. So there might be people listening who might be retired now or started their careers in a different corporate landscape, shall we say, Natasha. Mm-hmm. When did this change happen that businesses need to prove their employee value systems and things to be a desirable employer?
I would say it's a couple of years ago now, but I think there's still a very small number of employers that are doing that. But what we find is where employers have really compelling employee value propositions, they attract the best, but not only do they attract the best, they retain their people. And you do not want to be recruiting at the market at the moment because it's really expensive to go out and hire. It costs you between 50 and 150% on top of base salary to go and recruit. So you want to make sure you're getting it right. And I think that's what those employers that are a bit more, I suppose, courageous and a little bit more adventurous in terms of, you know, being very attractive as an employer will work for them.
I understand why employers might want to see my medical certificate, but if it's a deterrent from me having a day off when I'm legitimately sick, don't I have the potential to take the whole workforce down if it's only a small team?
Well, exactly. You know, you don't want sick workers in the workplace because it can spread. And we know with COVID, you know, it's highly infectious. So I think, you know, a lot of this comes back. I always say it comes back to trust and communication. So you should be saying to people in your workforce, look, we trust you. We know people get sick. We know we're at winter and it's a high, you know, flu and cases increase and so on and so forth. If you're sick, go home. We want you to be better and come back to the workplace refreshed. And whether that's when you're working from home for an extra day or two, so you're really well when you come back, and then you don't give your germs to anyone because no one likes people who share their germs.
No. Now, Natasha, you talked about hiring well, and you have a little workplace that you trust all the staff, but then one bad apple, one takes advantage, one takes the mickey. Have you learnt anything in your times as an employer about how to deal with that one so that not everyone is caught up in the fallout?
Absolutely, Dan. I always say, and I see this over the last, I hate to say it, 30 years, employers aren't good at firing. I say if they can just do three things better, hire better, manage better, fire better, they're going to be in a much more profitable and productive business. What we find when we get that bad apple is everybody knows it's a bad apple and the employer is resistant because they are scared of letting go of somebody and failing the unfair dismissal test. But when they do it and they do it well and get some help, we can help them, they often find the rest of the team cheer. It's like, thank God you got rid of George. George has been a pain for years, but no one ever said anything. And they will think of you as a far better leader if you've actually taken that tough decision, because you do not, it is like cancer. You do not want that person infecting the rest of the workplace or potentially losing great employees because they're fed up with that employee.
Fascinating. Natasha, thanks for sharing some insight with us this morning on sick leave and a whole bunch of things.
My pleasure. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Natasha Hawker is the managing director of a company that provides HR and recruitment services.